There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Maybe if you can do it from inside, it would be better. I know it's not as... It's 92 is the actual temperature, the heat index around 100, but maybe it's just the fact I was away from this for a couple of days. I've now had to get used to it again. It's like walking outside, just doing basic stuff and sweating like Ned Beatty in Deliverance. It's unbelievable, but it's good. I'm back. I have a buddy, Dale Leash from Landapp, is going to join us in a second, but I do want to do this. This is good that I have this forum again, you know, to have this outlet out here. Two things right here before we get started. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We're talking about some local issues, state issues, national issues, talk to you, all kind of stuff on the way. But first, do you have a Samsung phone? If you do, if you're like me, have an Android phone, you're running Samsung, when they ask you to update your phone, just say no. Go Nancy Reagan, say no. Just say no. I tried to be good because I want to keep everything updated, make sure I don't have any security breaches. They update. Samsung, if you're listening, hello, Mr. Samsung, if you're listening, man, quit with it. We want to update our phones. We want to do the right thing, but you take everything, like if we have drawn, we've used an Etch-a-Sketch here on our phone to draw a portrait of our lives, and then y'all come along when it's update time and just shake it and ruin everything. So that's one thing. Oh, I feel better already. And the other thing is the hell that is our vending machine on the second floor here, the vending machine complex. I know, vending machine guy who came by before and gave us some free drinks. He's a very nice guy. But you got to do better, man. Got to do better. Let's just we'll boil it down to the fact is I know better, but you never attempt to buy chips, bagged chips, out of a vending machine. Usually, and Dalton and I have this conversation, when it doesn't dispense the chips, which means I didn't have time for lunch today, when it doesn't dispense the chips, usually throwing a shoulder into it, rocking the machine, somehow physically assaulting the machine will make it bounce free. Today, I'm probably going to have to go to the orthopedic. Still no chip. The Cajun craw taters hanging there taunting me. But so that's how it started. But listen, we're going to do a lot better with the day today because we got the show and I feel good. I'm back here, back doing the show. I've aired some grievances. I have my outlet and now I'm calm and zen again, at least for the next minute or two. Y'all say hello to Dale Leash from Landapp. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I feel better now. Kind of oddly feel good. Better. Feel free.
You know, that the snack selection in your vending machine sounds awesome, though.
It's the worst, though.
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's not because, okay, they used to have things that were, they're not real healthy, but things like peanuts
right.
and stuff like that you could have that were, at least they weren't honey buns or something like that. Now,
right.
everything that was kind of at least pretended to be healthy, they've been
right.
jettisoned, so you're stuck the healthiest option, which is a tasty option, but the healthiest option in the vending machine were Cajun craw taters.
Okay. All right, well, just, in moderation, man. That's all that matters.
It's not even moderation. It's denial because it's hanging from the little thing upstairs. All right, so as much as you and I could probably amuse ourselves talking about Zapp's potato chips for the next hour
Absolutely.
Or so, the people want to talk about the Civic Center. Man, it's like, well, yeah, we were just talking about this last week, and now more in the new Landapp. Civic Center still attracts shows despite ongoing closure debate. This is for people who say, hey, man, the Civic Center, who cares? There's nothing going on down there. That's not factual.
Right, and that's precisely where I wrote the story. I mean, I think we have a perception that the Civic Center only exists for Mardi Gras, and it's not the truth.
Yeah, it does. How many days a year was something booked there?
I mean, it's almost every... They've got something, you know, small, big, whatever. They've got something almost every day there happening, you know, and it seems to be lost on a lot of folks.
And it is. It's fair enough. You know, you and I have talked about it with Rob this morning. Listen, all of us go through that. If it's not a show that you're interested in or you're going to, you don't even register that it happened, right? I mean, you don't. I mean, it comes and goes in one ear, out the other because of something. But that doesn't mean something didn't happen down there.
Right. And I mean, Kendall Wall brought that up. He's the general manager over at the Civic Center for SMG. But he brought up the fact that, you know, Mardi Gras is so central to everybody's, you know, frame of mind when it happens and when they're participating, that a lot of the other stuff that goes on at the Civic Center kind of falls by the wayside. They don't really realize all that happens there.
So, okay, because this goes into the bigger discussion, right? That, I mean, you're not just pointing this out just to point it out. It's part of the discussion if whatever the new iteration is of something, and I dare say, what I don't know what it's going to be, but the presence down there where the Civic Center is now, if we change that, it has functions beyond Mardi Gras. It has functions needing a venue, like you said, 300-something days a year.
Right. And that's something that needs to be considered, right? Because these events have to go somewhere, or they have to disappear. And I mean, I don't know if that's good economic practice to tell these groups and things that they have to find somewhere else to go. You know, when other options are out there.
What about the? I mean, people will be hearing this and say, "Hey, Sean and Dale, hey man, why if they're booked all these days a year, where's the profit to be able to do? Why can't they pay for this?"
That's a good question. If you look at the, they obviously don't make enough in ticket sales or sales tax revenue from the shows, even though they're booked, you know, solid. I mean, we're not talking about just the arena's not booked every day. This is the theater, this is the expo hall, and the arena all together are booked at various iterations. But so we're not, you know, obviously it's not making the revenue. It's not making $66 million to rebuild the Civic Center. It's not doing anything like that, and that's part of the problem. Is a lot of the and these are this is a problem that a lot of cities are dealing with. Is civic centers aren't designed to make money. I mean, I know that's a good idea, like we could just pay for ourselves, but that's why they're civic centers. They're supposed to be public entities.
Well, and explain, I guess, and just joining us, talking to Dale Leash with Lanyap and the story, one of the many he's done on the Civic Center, this one posted up yesterday, Civic Center still attracts shows despite ongoing closure debate. Now, okay, you've got a couple things going on here. SMG, yeah. And you talk about SMG that manages the Arthur Outlaw Convention Center, the Sanger Theater as well. Are they leasing? How does that work? I mean, they aren't the city. The city owns the property, and the SMG does the operation. Explain people how that works.
So the city pays SMG to manage the facilities for them.
Okay.
And that includes booking of shows and some of the operational expenses. The city is responsible for, you know, they own the land, so they're responsible for the land. They're responsible for the maintenance of these facilities. So you'll see City Council will pay for a new air conditioning unit at the Civic Center because they own the building. SMG manages and books the shows and all that good stuff.
But it's not exactly like a landlord-tenant relationship either, though.
No, absolutely not. It's more of just a management contract. So it's not like the city. I mean, I guess the city could decide to go with a new manager for some of these shows if they were unhappy with what was taking place, but it's more of a situation where it's not a lease, it's a management agreement.
So in that, like you said, the city has to be on for fixing things, and one of the issues that's been discussed here is the rigging. And we come back, Dale Leash from Lanyap joins us, because I know it's easy just to say, hey, the reason we don't get the great rock and roll shows is this hangover from the days of the 1980s and the Civic Center Mobile, but in fact, it may be something more simple than that. It may be about the stage shows that go on now. They will fill in the blanks when we get back right here on Midday Mobile. I'm going to go get some chips. I'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:18, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you here. Keep our conversation going with Dale Leash from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com, a store you can check out here. Once again, there's, like anything worth talking about, there's a lot of different angles, but it seems like we spend a good bit of time making sure everybody knows the facts here, and that's one of the great things that's done in the reporting in Lanyap. And part of this is you're just kind of walking through what a year looks like at the Civic Center, right? I mean, how many shows are booked and what may be the challenges?
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I was very interested in talking about the challenges, because, you know, you hear from people all the time that, A, they don't, you know, they don't get anything there, and when they do, it's not the big rock shows, not the popular rock shows that they were expecting for a city this size. But there are some issues related to the age of the building that might contribute to some of that.
So it's not just, okay, because there's this conventional wisdom that may not be wise or conventional, where people say, well, it's a holdover from, because listen, something, you know, Alabama, or Mobile specifically, got on the blacklist for shows, and they skipped over because of some things that happened. But gosh, that's been 30-plus years ago, and we all kind of, you know, just assume that's still the hangover from it, but it looks like it may be something more simplistic than some kind of, you know, do not playlist out there. It's rigging?
Yeah, well, there's a number of factors. One of those factors is due to the rigging. So back in 64 or so, when they opened the arena, you know, having the ceiling rigging set up to handle 110 pounds was no big deal, because that was around the average weight limit you wanted for any show to come by, and, you know, all this other stuff.
Right.
But with more modern facilities, they upped the limit on the rigging, how much the rigging can hold, 150. And so you've got all these modern shows that have these laser light shows, or they have some sort of, you know, LED lighting element that our Civic Center, because of the weight limit, cannot hold up from the ceiling. So a lot of will get bypassed because of that.
Okay, so do we have a standard, like, what if we went to a brand new built facility, what they would make the rigging? I mean, what do we know?
It'd be 150. It would be 150 pound limit on a modern style rigging.
So why, I mean, can't we just put some more bolts in this thing? I mean,
that's a good question. I don't have a great answer for you on what it would take to kind of retrofit something that would be more that would make the facility more modern. But you know, that's all part of that modernization plan. And I think if they do anything to, like, renovate the facility, they've got to get an ADA compliance too, which is a whole nother issue.
That's been the big one, right? That's been, if people haven't followed this, that, gosh, we've been talking about this for years and years and years, that a certain percentage of change done kicks in this ADA compliance, which then puts in, makes the price go up $20 million or something. It was substantial.
Yeah, $20 million was the last thing I'd heard, I think, which is about half the price of the renovation if you look at it.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're talking tens of millions of dollars if you do it, and you're right, it's a certain percentage, and I don't know off the top of my head what that percentage would be.
So in steps,
you're absolutely correct.
So in steps, this idea years ago, okay, well, since it's going to cost this much to do that, since it's this much to put a new roof on the house, Dale, the wife says we're just going to, you know, build a new house. I mean, it's kind of that kind of thing, right? I mean,
that's right. Or in this case, maybe possibly renovate the entire house. If we're going to put a new roof on it, we're going to spend that kind of money, we might as well do the whole thing up.
Right. So that's how we arrive at this RFQs out there. And then, of course, we find out last week or week before, actually, that the Sterling Group is out, leaving just Cordish as the suitor for this.
Yeah, that's right. So you had, you had the two proposals, the council and the mayor were going to knock down to one. And the Sterling Group, the leader is the Sterling Group, kind of made the decision for them. And so, you know, you had the mayor make that announcement on Tuesday that the competition is basically over. So this is where we're headed.
Okay. Now, when he the mayor had called in and said, hey, that RFQ, while it didn't have the arena in here, that's just the beginning of our negotiation with them. The idea here is, what I worry about, I guess, is that there are so many people that are asking specific things or saying, well, I'll agree if it does this or it doesn't do right. this, that you're going to be in a place where it's almost untenable for anybody to find something that satisfies everybody.
Well, and that's the issue with a lot of stuff that goes on with municipal government, right? Like you're not going to make everybody happy. We're all paying taxes, so what do you know? That's kind of the dilemma there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Cordish has 6 to 9 months. If they're it seems like they're going to be chosen. They're officially chosen. They'll have 6 to 9 months to test the market to see what the market needs or. What so? I mean, their concepts could evolve. Now, will it evolve into adding an arena? I don't know, and I would doubt it. But you never know.
Yeah, because the original Cordish, which we've been told by the city, was just a opening negotiation. But that original RFQ does not have an arena. I mean, it's a open air entertainment area. I don't know what the term you use for it, entertainment air zone or something
promenade,
like that.
Promenade, I think, is what we've been throwing around.
Okay,
in
promenade.
The office now. So there you go, yeah.
But so it essentially has a retail or restaurant component, but
right.
doesn't have a put everybody in the seats and let's watch the rock and roll band.
Right, right. And it's more like like we've talked about, it's more of an open air concept. Not really kind of it doesn't seem to be like it's going to be a stage, but more of a gathering area for folks. And these types of concepts are usually around, we've talked about this too, usually in the, close proximity to baseball stadiums especially. So, that wouldn't be the case here.
Yeah, and then, of course, the 800-pound jester, the 800-pound folly in the room that is yet to be discussed is the demands on that facility during Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and like I've said before, also they've talked about comparing our Mardi Gras celebrations to St. Louis New Year's Eve celebrations, and different groups and different people would book parties in those adjacent restaurants and things, and I just don't know how that's going to work. In our scenario, maybe it could. I don't know, but that's. I guess we'll have to find out.
All right, Jess. So, do you have? You said the timeline is 3 to 6 months or 6 to 9 months.
What did I say?
Whatever you said.
I think I said. I don't. I think it was 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
I think they'll have to kind of study the market and see what the market needs. Going forward, so I mean the mayor's right. The concept could change. This was like an opening salvo, but will the developer go so far as to completely change their idea once they're selected? I don't know.
And how many times, that's the unknown, and I know you're just reporting facts. This is my part of the job is picking up from here, but wondering how many changes can happen before a group like Cordish says, yeah, I can't do that, because they got to make a profit. I mean, they're not in this for...
Right.
for quality of life, civic wise, they're going to make a profit off it.
Right, right. And they've got to do whatever they think is necessary to make that profit, and do whatever they think is necessary to make that profit. We still don't know how much they're going to ask the city to chip in. I assume that we're not getting it for free. So,
right.
We knew that $66 million was the Sterling Group's proposal for the arena. And that while the Cordish Group doesn't have an arena in their initial plan, there's got to be some sort of infrastructure the city's going to have to provide that will cost some money. We just don't know what it is yet.
There it is. Well, we will. We'll keep. I think this discussion has legs for at least 6 to 9 months, if not 6 to 9 years, going forward. As always, Dale Band, I appreciate your report and appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Thank you so much, Sean, for having me.
Always a pleasure. Dale Leash with Lanyap. Check it out, Lanyap New Issue or lanyapmobile.com. All right, grab some calls on this at 343-0106, 343-0106. I mean, one of my worries, I think it's a fair worry. You've got, let's say Cordish, because by default they're going to get the contract, right? So Cordish has their RFQ. It's got to change now to have this, and that in it. And then you have, so you need to have an arena, okay? All right. Well, if we have an arena, we got to have these apartments. Oh, well, no. You've got members of Mobile City Council said if there's going to be apartments there, they're not going to, they wouldn't vote for it. Because remember, this is an idea. This is very much, your primer for this was the LAD debate. Okay, the mayor's office, the executive branch, can work up a deal, but it is something approved by the Mobile City Council. So think about this. You have members of the council have said they're not going to vote for something that has residential component in it. Okay, so that's a block of votes. They'll say no. Well, what if Cordish says, well, if we're going to have the arena, we have got to have the apartments to be able to, or the condos, whatever it is, to even out this part of it? Yeah, they say no. Or what if in the situation where if the need of a Mardi Gras organization is different than the needs of Paw Patrol on Ice or whatever, you know, whatever else comes through there. What about that issue? And then the idea that, okay, maybe this Cordish group comes in and says, we got to put these bars and restaurants in here as a part of our promenade or whatever to make this system work. Well, if they say that, and you have downtown restaurateurs and bar owners and that said, hey, you know, your city's giving this out-of-town retail competition, this restaurant competition, an advantage over us. I mean, if they're not given an advantage, I will be on the side of a free market and a fair playing option. But if you have a situation where the advantage is given to these restaurants that come in with this player versus the other ones, I think the people downtown have an argument to be made. So with all those things in the gumbo as we cook it up here, how do you ever get a deal struck? When you have that many voices, and this, how do you get a deal struck? How do you get something built? Or do we sit and languish with doing nothing here, with needing changes, whether it be in rigging or sprucing up or air conditioners or ADA compliance? What do you do? We'll grab your calls when we get back. 343-0106. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Hey, Rita says, I got so fed up with smart Samsung, I threw it away. Now I have a dumb old phone. It's so close to being a string and a tin can. Old school. Well, you know, Rita, here's the thing. I like the technology. I'm a fan of new technology. I just get, like, once I have a phone set, okay, it's like maybe they can have just the default setting, your car seat, right? You get your car seat, your truck seat set a certain way. Certain people, like I drive like a nerd, okay? Like sitting, I know you would see me and think how cool I am, but I hate to shock you that I'm not, that I sit at like a 90 degree, you know, angle in my seat and sit up straight and hold the steering. So, yeah, I have no cool in me. But so I sit like that in my vehicle. If you get in and somebody's messed with all the seat stuff, then that's the problem with your smartphone. I like all the technology, but I get it set to how I like it, right? How this is where I want this deal and this is where I want that. And then I try to make sure I'm updating my phone so security is all, and then it just takes all everything and just scatters it to the wind. That's my issue with it. So yeah, Rita, in that I am the same as you. I just would like freeze it in time. If I want to add new technology to the phone, new apps, cool, but just leave them where I put them. I sound like I'm talking about my tools in the garage at the house with my children. If you just put it back where you got the tool in the first place. All right. Let's go to Mike in Grand Bay. Mike, save me from myself, man.
Well, I'll try my best, Sean. But, you got yourself into it, you got to get yourself out of it.
Well said.
Regarding this Civic Center stuff, you know, I think it all come down to what this city needs as to what we want. Does it need an open-air space with a Chili's and a Applebee's down there? Is it, you know, did we really need a maritime museum or a baseball park off the interstate? You know, maybe that's what people wanted, but what do we really need down there? And it just seems to me, especially after this Langap article, that there seems to be a need for an event
yes
space.
So what do you do there, though? What, that's the rub. So when we have done, you know, and I've talked, and we've had, you know, gouged citizen syndrome, when there's something that I think you could argue that quality of life says cities our size have some sort of, you know, big venue there for things like that. But at the same time, I can't ignore the fact that the debt service on the Gulf Quest Museum or the other items in the city that we're still paying for, and here we go, you know, Bay Bears are leaving to become trash pandas, and we're going to have that, and then the situation with Ladd. And all, if you could go back and redo it 30 years ago, I think people would say, well, put the money in the Civic Center, not in these other things, but they didn't do that. And now we're kind of stuck.
We are stuck. We are stuck, and yeah, we have a lot. You know, even left out Ladd Stadium. I mean, it's a city that time has come to do something. But if we really don't have the money, I don't know. Maybe we can take that Civic Center. Maybe the big problem is the big round part, and just rebuild, take that down, and remake it into a more modest but effective venue.
And I think that's your idea is a good one. I think other people have had it said, hey, how much of it can we change without changing the whole thing? But the problem is that, like you heard Dale and I talk about, it's 20 million, at least I've been told. I haven't run the numbers myself. All I know is what they report is that $20 million will be the cost. If we change even the smallest amount down there, the ADA compliance, $20 million just in that.
Yeah, I mean, money's going to have to be spent to have some sort of venue down there, whether it's existing one or a new one. So I guess if we could justify the cost and make it as reasonable as effective, but the answer to that, I don't have.
Yeah, well, we're working. Hey, listen, and I think you're on the team of so many of us that have some ideas, but, you know, if you are a thinker about it, as soon as you have the what seems like a simple solution, you look around the corner and there's 10 other questions plaguing it. Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to David in Mobile next. David.
Hey, Sean. I'm glad you enjoyed your vacation. Did you like the downtown Mobile Airport passenger terminal?
I don't know. I did not think much about it when we traveled out. We traveled out on Saturday and didn't think, I said, it's fine. I hadn't been down there before. I parked and walked over and it was good. And we got on the flight and it was fine. Coming back in, I'll tell you, here's some real stuff. Here's real stuff you don't get from, an evening newscast. So we land yesterday and I went out to get the truck while my wife and daughter and my son stayed inside as they piled the luggage up in that big pile there for everybody to get. And my daughter, my 13-year-old, she heard people overheard people because she's 13. If she thinks there's something juicy, she's going to listen in. And she said people from out of town were talking about first time in Mobile, we're not impressed, and what is this little airport in this little town? And so she relayed that story to me. So that has given me a twinge. I was fine with it. I enjoyed my whole time until that. And I was like, is this the impression? Can we, you know, is that the impression people have of our city? I don't know. I it was fine for me. The travel was very easy getting in and getting out. Had no delay. It was so the dad was happy. The daughter has made me wonder, you know, what kind of impression it leads to new visitors to our city.
Yeah. Listen,
so there you go.
I graduated high school with a 2.5 GPA, not because I'm not smart, but because I refused to do the busy work homework that the teachers assigned and made it about a third of their grade.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with the Cordish group. They basically said, I'm not doing the homework until you make it work for me. Well, now we're rewarding them with giving them the opportunity to do this project. Well, so their project, their offer should have been discounted from the beginning because they didn't do the work that the other groups did. First of all, that's one of the complaints that Sterling had.
Right, but, that's what we're talking about. Sterling said, hey, it's not an even playing field. Here's my problem is, at face value, I 100% agree with you. I agree with what Rob Hulbert was saying this morning. I've been around this planet long enough to know that sometimes there's what we understand the way things are done, and maybe there's an inside the business. And maybe inside the business is exactly what we understand, but sometimes it's not. Maybe the policy is you fudge numbers on this. Look at government contracts, right? You fudge numbers low and then have overruns. right? Exactly. To make that, and that's what I worry about, that may be the truth in this. I don't know it's the truth, but I would worry about that.
Exactly. And in a piece that I wrote for the website that I'm writing opinion pieces for now, I actually took Best Rich's idea of doing city debt service on a new arena down at the Civic Center and a parking garage, and I expanded upon it, and I said, why don't we, if we put a multi-use event center that gives us all the functionality of the expo hall, the theater, and the arena in one building, and a parking garage, we free up enough land down there that we can build an office building and or hotel space with dining and retail. And who better to build, own, and manage the office building and hotel space than the people that already own half of downtown anyway, the Retirement Systems of Alabama.
Ah, well, you get RSA involved in it. You make the phones light up here. Hey, here's a question. And once again, this is not rhetorical. It's actually, how is the demand out there for more office and retail space? I mean, do you see it? Do you see people saying, I can't find anywhere to open up a business? Even with the economy as good as it is now, I haven't heard that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the commercial retail space, so that would be a question.
I see a lot of signs out there, don't you, of offering space for rent?
I do as well, but you know, that might have something to do with the fact that they're asking too much, more than what people are willing to pay for that space.
But then the market, the market doesn't bear it then. So why do we need more space?
You don't want to reduce your prices because the national market space is telling you to charge.
Yeah, but do you think if they come in with some brand new facilities and all the money going into that all of a sudden people are going to say, well, we'll do the new thing and we're going to charge less than anybody else for it? Come on, man. That's not going to happen.
How many businesses that were already located in Mobile, like the Trustmark Bank building downtown, moved to the RSA Tower when it opened up?
I don't know. What's the percentage of it?
There was a lot of businesses that moved to that new brand spanking new building.
Sure. But now that has settled through the market, that wave has run through the market, and still you see the signs up and down the street with property for rent and lease. It's not like the once in a while. I mean, you go and our economy's doing great, and you still see that.
Well, that's true. Like I said,
I'm such an old crank.
Or
I know.
A office space, building space, you know?
Hey, I appreciate the ideas, and you do. You bring ideas to the mix, David, and I appreciate that. And maybe there's somebody who's in commercial real estate right now who can call me and say, well, here's why you see the signs. And maybe we do. Maybe there is an absolute demand for a huge volume of space down there. I would like that decision to be made by the market. So if you had a Cordish or a Cornish game hen, I don't care who it is, making that decision, but they're a private entity and they're going to risk their capital to do it, have at it, man. Have at it. But if you're putting the taxpayers of Mobile on the hook for it, I think that's a fantasy. I think what you do is you decide what part of this is part of quality of life. We've talked about that. It's parks. It's all the things that make living in a city, you know, part of the deal. You know, it may not be a return on investment that you can measure in dollars and cents, but it's a return on investment in lifestyle. So we decide, okay, we believe that having a venue for Dora the Explorer on Ice and Mardi Gras and this, that, the other, and the big rock and roll show is important. We don't believe the city needs to be involved in whether it be, you know, other space. And this is a situation where I've already talked about this with the mayor. Also, I think Councilman John Williams has talked about it, that the city would sell that portion of the property to the investment company. They would be in charge of that. But then, do they build us an arena while they're doing that? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. A lot. And some big money at stake, too.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. I just saw something, get a new graphic up for Toll Talk. Since we've been doing this, I got to say, on this show, we've been talking about the tolling stuff for, say, longer than any of the other media entities, maybe other than Lanyap in town. Maybe we get our own, like, can we get a toll? I know we've got listeners that have the no toll sticker and all that. Can we get, draw something up, which is like our own toll graphic, and we could use that in some of our print ads. Or I don't know, just an idea there. All right, 1252, phone number 343-0106. Oh, did you hear the story that I just heard Devin Walsh talking about what it cost them to go after that alligator? You hear? Play the cut. Let's get the... Okay, let me go straight to... there it is, and... It's towards the end of the cast. Okay, run that. Let's see. Let's go right about there.
It arose from city workers putting up the city of Chicago's efforts to wrangle an alligator that was found living in a park lagoon this summer cost more than $33,000. Most of the costs arose from...
$33,000 to go after the 5-foot gator because they had to put barricades up to prevent people getting near the 5-foot gator. Now, right? I mean, did I miss something here, Devin? What'd they say? They got... let's play the cut again. Play it again.
Away from the $3,000. Most of the costs arose from city workers putting up and removing barricades to keep people away from the lagoon. Florida trapper Frank Robb captured the 5-foot-long alligator on July...
So, the best the city of Chicago could do, they had the 5-foot alligator. 5-foot. Five. By the way, gator season starts this, weekend after this one. The 5-foot alligators in the lagoon there in Chicago. They spend $33,000 in having city employees put guardrails up to keep people away from the 5-foot gator. What would it be? We're talking about spending money. What if we had to spend the money here to, at any point that there could be a gator nearby, we would have to put up guardrails to keep people away from the... City of Chicago, $33,000 in putting guardrails up to keep people away from a 5-foot gator. All right, just want to point that out. So maybe whatever we spend on a civic center is not wasted money. To the phones, and let's go to Craig in Gulf Shores next. Hey, Craig.
I know how to fix the toll problem.
Oh, my God. Okay, thank goodness. Let me get my pen. All right, what do we got?
So we built a bridge from Alabama to Florida on I-10 at the same time, make it all one project, and put a massive toll on that bridge to pay for it all.
Okay,
and
wait.
That way, local.
Where on I-10?
To pay.
Where? Okay, so the bridge would go from where do we get on the bridge? Where do we get off the bridge?
So build a new bridge on I-10.
Okay.
From Baldwin County to Escambia County, Florida.
Okay, so on the east side there, so crossing like the Styx River over there, right? Or Perdido River.
It's up the, whatever the,
Perdido,
the
I think
actual
that's...
Florida line is.
Yeah, yep. So
no,
you would build the toll
all
bridge
part
there.
Of one project, make it one toll only on that bridge to pay for all of it.
But why would you put that bridge there? What would be the reasoning for having a bridge there?
Because you want to make it a new project, and that way you can sell putting a toll on it. And that way the Florida Tourist Advisory Board would be willing to help because they don't want the people having to come vacation in Florida to pay a massive toll.
But what reason, when you decide to build the bridge, this bridge you're going to have over the Perdido River, based on what need, I guess?
Well, it's part of improving I-10.
Okay.
So they sell worse ideas than that. So you make it, we're going to fix I-10 in South Baldwin, Mobile County, mm-hmm. and make it a state line to state line project as opposed to just Mobile project.
So you're going to go in there where the current I-10 is going, crossing the state line with the eastbound lanes and the westbound lanes, and you're going to say, we're going to, in addition, build a bridge right here just over the Perdido River, and we're going
to
charge a toll.
To improve it.
To improve that segment of I-10 right there.
You know, because we're improving it through Baldwin to Mobile County. And every time you say improve, you've got to do air quotes.
You got to take a shot. Right.
Anyway.
Right.
All right. But that way, the people traveling to Florida are paying for the new tunnel stuff.
What if
not
I... We could put the toll... Why don't we just put the... Let's put a toll between Louisiana and Mississippi and have the money come to Alabama.
Well, but we want them to come here to vacation.
Right. So you don't want to trap them.
We only do it on the eastbound lane leaving Alabama.
There you go. So only on one direction. Okay. Okay, I'm following.
Because
in a drunken kind of way.
That way, the locals wouldn't have to pay. Only the people.
It would be like a toll. Are you saying like a toll crab trap? Is that kind of what you're describing? Like a trap, like a crab trap, right? You can go the crabs can go in the one way, but they have trouble coming back out the other way.
Exactly. So that instead of paying for to go over Mobile Bay, we make it one big project and only put one toll going eastbound out of the state.
That way,
the only people who have to pay are the people traveling through, not the people traveling to.
All right, y'all listening? LDOT, there it is. Craig's got the solution. Hey, what time's happy hour start on Thursdays? Is it 12:58? A little bit earlier? All right. Bottoms up. Get your calls when we get back.